Hey, hello, and welcome to another Don't Wash the Jersey episode of A Colts Podcast. My name's Brandon. I'm joined here by your co-host, my best friend. We're brought to you by Sports Illustrated and the Horseshoe Huddle. Andrew, my kind friend, how are you doing today? It's been a couple days since the big win. You've survived the COVID. House time.
I'm on the up and up. I'm feeling a lot better this afternoon. Gonna be back at work tomorrow and back talking about Colts football with you tonight. It was a great win on Christmas night. Really one of the only things that actually made me feel a little bit better on Christmas, since I really couldn't spend time with my family. It was just me and the fiance at home battling through the COVID elements together. But it was a great win by the Indianapolis Colts Sunday night. A lot of controversy, a lot of injuries, a lot of COVID issues, but the team came together. Carson Wentz put the team on his back at the end and came out with that victory that we've been looking forward to, that with Carson being the star of the game. So I thought it was a great gutsy win by the entire team, and it's something to give this team even more momentum as we head towards the playoffs. So how are you doing? How was your Christmas?
My Christmas was good. I think the only thing I got that was non-Colts related was some gift cards. So I'm loaded up on Colts gear. I think I could wear, you know, a different Colts shirt right now for, you know, every day for 2 weeks probably. So we're doing good there. Got to see a lot of family. Did some more traveling. But we're home. And Christmas Day was topped off by a big sneezing Colts win. The vid. Andrew passed it to me through the old computer. A very impressive win Saturday night against a good Cardinals team, a reeling Cardinals team maybe right now. And we did it with the skeleton crew. I mean, unbelievable what we were able to overcome in that game. Obviously, some things went down since we were able to do our preview. That's the world we're living in right now. With COVID, we have 5 starters out, 7 total, and then 2 more offensive linemen go out during the game. I mean, just an absolute shit show. And Frank said it, Chris said it, you've said it. A gutsy win, one of the most amazing team wins, team victories I've seen in any sport. It'll never go down as one of the great games in the NFL and, you know, in history, but it'll go down as one of the most underrated wins of all time for sure.
Yeah, and Stats Matt, love that you're here. Thanks for reaching out. I am feeling a little bit better, but yeah, you're right. And I think this is the wins and what a team win needs to be, especially for a Colts team that is fighting for their playoff lives. I mean, all the ranking, all the stats and the probability charts and analytics say that the Colts have a very good chance of making it into the playoffs, but that could have changed if they didn't win there in Arizona, because these next two games, while it's against the Raiders and against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Colts are going to be heavily favored in those, nothing's guaranteed. I mean, Carson Wentz could end up on the COVID list tomorrow. Yep. And or Sam Ellinger and Brett Hundley, and then we're stuck with the fourth string quarterback on the practice squad to lead the Colts. So that was a big win that the Colts needed, just for some added insurance, if anything else. And it's a win that shows just the depth that is on this team. So it was great to see, and I'm sure it boosted a lot of guys' confidence there in the locker room, that proved that when they are in a tough pinch like that, they can go out there and perform against one of the best teams in the NFL.
You know, and it felt like at one point, it felt to me like the defense wasn't playing well. But then you look at the score and you go, well, they're doing something. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like it was 3rd and 3 and they were converting like every few plays. 3rd and 3, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 3. Had to have been a record for the most 3rd and 3s in a game of all time, every time I looked up. But yeah, Carson. Let's just go ahead and start talking about Wentz. I guess we'll just dig in here. Delivers in the clutch at the end of the game. Andrew, he started out well. You tweeted that he had a good start or something, and then, you know, it went to hell. You know, on Twitter, we're joking around with you and some of your readers, at least, maybe listeners, I don't know. And then as soon as we pick on you for, you know, speaking too soon, you know, and he started playing bad, he turns around and becomes probably, you know, the most important player of the game 18 out of 28, 225 yards, two touchdowns, 112.9 passer rating. Or is that QBR or passer rating?
Passer rating.
Passer rating, because QBR is out of 100. So, I mean, what did you think about the way Wentz performed? I mean, he was a roller coaster, to be honest. But what are your thoughts? What's the Wednesday article preview here?
Wednesday is going to be filled with ups and downs, but it's going to end very well. Carson Wentz was on it on Saturday night, and it wasn't the entire game because he did start out well. He started out with that touchdown throw to T.Y. Hilton, and I thought that was probably one of the better throws that he's had in a long time. He stood in the pocket there. He was able to go through his reads. Credit to the offensive line for holding up because he wasn't pressured very often on that first drive, and especially on that play, felt no pressure at all, and he was able to go through his reads, hit T.Y. Hilton in the back of the end zone there, and the Colts were able to take that early lead. But it was kind of towards the end of the second quarter and right after half at the beginning of the third. Things did not look good for Carson Wentz. He was overthrowing the receivers, throwing high. He overthrew it through high to Jonathan Taylor, to Michael Pittman, and Michael Pittman's 6'4" frame. Yeah. There were times where he didn't get it to Michael Pittman. And there were times where he was starting, it almost looked like the film that he put on Philly for Philly last year. Yeah. He was feeling the pressure before it was able to get to him. That fourth down throw in particular, where Wentz finishes his drop and then immediately tries to throw it to Michael Pittman Jr. before he completely finishes his drop, and he's basically throwing it off of his back foot, and the pressure is not even there in his face. That's bad. That's bad Carson Wentz 2020 film right there. But he stepped it up, and I kept saying this over and over. I was like, we need to see Carson Wentz put the team on his back and win a game in a crucial situation. And what better way than Saturday night? The Colts are down 4 of their starting 5 offensive linemen by the start of the fourth quarter because Eric Fisher goes out in the middle of the second. You have a Cardinals team that while the defense is holding up at that point, this Cardinals offense could strike at any moment. And the moment was there for the taking. It was time for Carson Wentz to put the team on his back and lead him to victory.
Yeah.
And look what he did. Facing a 2nd and 17, he throws a rope over to the left side to Michael Pittman Jr. for 20 yards. Then a couple plays later, he rolls out to his right and throws a dime to T.Y. Hilton for 39 yards while on the run. Not very many quarterbacks can make that throw on the run. And then the touchdown throw to Desmond Patman in the back of the end zone. I don't think 5 quarterbacks in the NFL can make that throw. That's a throw that when we see Patrick Mahomes do it, the entire sports world is going nuts.
Yep.
Carson Wentz rolls out to his left, contorts his body midair, so that way he squares up, plants his right foot like he should, good mechanics there, and delivers a dart right to Desmond Patman. And Patman's not even open yet. He's got maybe a half a step. But Carson is anticipating that Dez is going to be there. And it was just a fantastic throw. You see on the replays, he gets absolutely obliterated on that throw. And he still stands in there, makes a perfect pass to Patman in the back of the end zone. And that's the ball game right there. So Carson Wentz delivering in the clutch, probably having one of his best performances as far as being clutch in his entire career. Exactly what I and a lot of Colts fans, I think, needed to see in order to put their full belief in Carson Wentz as we head into the playoffs.
Wentz season says, Carson clearly didn't trust his pass protection. It was getting shaky. Once he realized it was okay, he got better. Reich started rolling him out. That helped. I agree with that. That definitely could be. And what really contributed, Andrew, you talked about his mechanics. We talked about that during the game, and the stats Matt here says his footwork was all over the place during his struggling. Yeah, it was. And what did I tweet? I tweeted that pass that he made to Pitt. I think that was the fourth quarter where he turned around and got the first down, but kind of stumbled out of bounds. I said, see what happens when you set your feet. You know, and the majority of his great passes after that, were, you know, his mechanics were more sound as he was able to set his feet. What about, how is it different? Like, how are these guys that are able to throw on the run still able to keep their mechanics together when they're doing a pass on the run like the one to T.Y. that was huge?
it's all about just how you get your body set up and how you release the football where everything's pointed at that time. And we're talking about inches here. And that's why the greats like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees, they don't stop ever working on their mechanics. They work on it from day one up until Tom Brady is still working on his mechanics and he's 44 years old. That's why I think Carson Wentz will get better, because he'll just continue to work on these mechanics, continue to work with Adam Dedeaux in the offseason to make the, because we've seen great strides in Carson Wentz's mechanics this year, but it's still not quite to where we'd want to be. So that's why he will continue to work on those. And especially with Adam Dedeaux and Tom House of the QB school, really getting that just all in sync and making it so it's not so much of you got to think about it and you see it here and there. It's more of something that just happens naturally and happens consistently over time. Now, will Carson Wentz be able to be the best at mechanics? I don't know. Probably not.
Right.
But we do want to see that just becoming a more consistent part of his game. And I think when you look at that throw that he made to Desmond Patman for that touchdown, that is why the Colts give up a first and a third round pick, because not that many quarterbacks can do that. That's what you go out and get your franchise quarterback for. For moments like that. And now it's just, if Carson can do this consistently, then I think the Colts absolutely hit a home run on this. And I really do. I would make the trade 10 times out of 10 already. But this is what the critics, or even me, the your resident Wentz hater, is what we wanted to see. I wanted to see Carson Wentz put the team on his back. Now, I've said it multiple times, I don't want this to be a regular occurrence. I don't think Carson Wentz needs to put this team on his back every single week and win it, because you have a top flight defense. You have the best running back in the league in Jonathan Taylor. But there's going to be spots where he just needs to do that. Jonathan Taylor had a fine game, but we weren't going to win on the back of Jonathan Taylor with the way the Cardinals were stopping the run and with how the offensive line situation was on Saturday night. This was a game where Carson Wentz needed to go out there, make the throws that a franchise quarterback has to make, and lead his team to victory. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah. And he was a huge, huge, huge part of that win. I mean, he did put the team on his back there at the end of the game, especially. That last drive was something of beauty. If I would have told you 5 or 6 weeks ago that the Colts were going to go to Arizona and win, you'd have been like, maybe. Now, if I would have told you that the Colts are going to go to Arizona and win, missing 7 players, 5 of which were starters, they were going to lose another offensive lineman starter, they're going to lose another one of the backups, and Jack Doyle, and Darius Leonard wasn't going to be playing, you'd have told me I was out of my mind. This team, dude, each week my hopes are getting bigger. I mean, we're one game behind the best team in the AFC. We're one game behind Tennessee. I'm going to lose a tiebreaker probably, because they're going to lose next week to Miami. Hopefully that they're not going to lose to Houston twice in a year. That's not going to happen. So, I mean, we're not
going. Davis Mills looking good right now. I know
we're not going to get a home game.
Chargers.
We're not going to get a home game, but, I mean, we are the team in the AFC that nobody wants to have that draw. Nobody.
Oh, absolutely not. The Colts are, especially if the Colts are healthy. If the Colts are healthy and this COVID thing does not take over the team, as the playoff starts. Nobody wants to play Indianapolis right now. And I think even going to Kansas City, what travels on the road in January? It's the defense and running game. Two of the things that are clicking on all cylinders for the Indianapolis Colts right now.
Yeah. And Stats Matt says it here. It's ironic how all week Colts Nation narrative was, can Wentz win the game for the Colts? And then this game happens. We talked about it. You know, I know Stats Matt, you know, didn't hang out with us for the preview, was too busy throwing balls at pins, you know, to hear us break that down. But, it was how it happened.
I was getting crucified this week on Facebook and Twitter about my Carson Wentz article. And I said, hey, I mean, I wasn't concerned because I don't think this is going to be an occurrence. But
there's still people tweeting about how he sucks.
There's still that point where Carson Wentz needed to go out there and win a game for the Indianapolis Colts. And sure enough, that's what he did.
Yep.
I was very, very excited to see that.
All right. So Taylor continues his 100-yard streak, 108 yards. Colts win 9 games and 0 losses when Taylor rushes for over 100 this year. They've also lost the 6 games that he didn't rush for over 100, which is just ridiculous. It's a ridiculous stat. But, that first run obviously was a big help. I don't know how he found that hole the way he did, and I don't know why that line couldn't keep pushing the way they were for that, you know, the first few runs, but he still managed to squeak out 100 yards here. What did you think of the run game Saturday?
I thought the run game did just enough because it kept the defense of the Arizona Cardinals honest. And even with down 4 offensive linemen, you saw the Cardinals still putting all of their resources into trying to stop the run and stop Jonathan Taylor on Saturday night. And I think that really helped open things up for Carson Wentz in the passing game. I don't have Michael Pittman's stats in here, but I think he had 8 catches for 82 yards. So it was a great bounce back game for Michael Pittman after not being at his best against New England. T.Y. Hilton got plenty involved. We already talked about Desmond Patman getting his first career touchdown on that big throw. Mm-hmm. It was good to see that while Jonathan Taylor didn't dominate the game per se, because he had like 108 yards, would you say? 108 yards on the day. But I think he rushed 27 times, so it's not like he had an absurd yards per carry.
Right.
But at the same time, it was still causing the Cardinals defense to use a ton of resources on stopping Jonathan Taylor in the run game. Yep. Even when you have Julian Davenport at left tackle, Chris Reed, Danny Pinter, Matt Pryor, the only offensive lineman starter out there was Braden Smith. It's still,
hey, we had another Julian Davenport showing. It did not get any better.
No. Well, I mean, Eric, thank goodness for that penalty on the Eric Fisher, just getting blown up by Chandler Jones on what was going to be another strip sack of Carson Wentz. But anyways, it did just enough. And I put that stat in there because some people go overboard and they think, oh, well, we need to run Jonathan Taylor enough so he gets 100 yards. The reason that stat is in there, I don't think, is to say, well, it's an automatic win if the Colts get 100 yards rushing with Jonathan Taylor. What I do think that signifies, though, is that when Jonathan Taylor is really dominating on the ground, or when the Colts are putting a focus on Jonathan Taylor, it just makes this offense so much harder to defend, because Carson Wentz can do good things when you give him time to throw, yeah. Number one. And when you're focusing all those resources on Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman Jr. is going to have himself a time. T.Y. Hilton is going to find ways to get open, as he did on Saturday night. So I think that stat just more signifies that when Jonathan Taylor is rolling, that just makes this offense so much harder to defend. And that's when you see the Colts get up into the 30-point games that we've been seeing since week 4, week 5 of the season here. The Colts just rolling on offense because Taylor's success, yeah, and all the attention that he generates from the opposing
defense. Yeah,
and
that's the key. You know, when those yards are there, that means we are drawing that attention to him, and I think that's important. I agree with Matt too. I wish we would have gotten the ball a little bit more from the passing game. I know we tried a couple times, but that was kind of during Wentz's down portion of the game where he just couldn't connect with anybody. But yeah, I mean, obviously O-line troubles, Andrew. We were missing 4 to 5 offensive linemen for the game, and we still managed to make things work. I mean, were you impressed with the skeleton crew on the offensive line, or is that exactly what you expected out of them?
Some of them I was impressed. I mean, I really didn't have any
major gripes.
Worries. I didn't really have any worries about Danny Pinter going into the game, Chris Reed, Matt Pryor. It was when Eric Fisher went down and Julian Davenport had to come in. That's when I got a little bit worried. I was hoping what they would do is move Matt Pryor from right guard over into that left tackle spot. Mm-hmm. And move Will Fries in there at right guard,
yeah,
which didn't happen. They put Julian Davenport in there, and Will Fries didn't come in until Chris Reed had to go out.
Because Pryor had been playing backup tackle most of the season already.
Correct. But the reason he was at right guard is because while he was with the Eagles, he did play some right guard. So that I understand okay. it from that point. But I'm glad that Reed did come back in, because it was able to give Davenport a little bit more extra help over on that left side if you are going to keep Davenport in at left tackle. am I concerned if this is our crew moving forward? Yeah. Absolutely. Especially now, against.
Go ahead.
I assume
Ryan Kelly's going to be back next week. That's my guess. Again, he can take all the time he needs. I kind of hope he, hopped on a plane and headed to Arizona after all the big Q news and everything. But, that offensive line, the guys that are out, Quentin, for example, Quentin's not vaccinated, is he?
He's not.
So he's likely Quentin, out next week.
Unless the NFL, which this could be coming.
Mm-hmm. When season mentioned something in the comments earlier.
Literally about 3 minutes before we went live, I saw a tweet from Chris Mortensen that because the CDC announced today that quarantine could go from 10 days down to 5, NFL and NFLPA are now working very quickly to try to change the protocols. So before the Raiders game even happens, hell, before our next episode on Wednesday, the NFL protocols might be completely different. We might be able to get back
right after Quentin they Nelson. Just made another change.
Right, exactly. But hey, that's the world we're living in. So yep. Frank Reich did say today that Ryan Kelly is expected back in the building this week. Does that mean that he plays this week? I would think probably, but yeah. You never know. It could be that maybe he's back in the building, but he's still going to take his time. I don't know at this point, but just considering all the stuff that's going on, we'll see what happens. But we expect Ryan Kelly to be back. I think Mark Glowinski is vaccinated, so he should be back this week as well. So if that happens, that's two of the five. Now, Braden Smith did go on the COVID list today. Eric Fisher is day-to-day with a knee injury, and it'll all just depend on how the protocols end up, whether Quentin's back or not. So, well, it's all just up in the air, which kind of sucks because I want to give you the answers and give our listeners the answers. But we won't know until probably kickoff on Sunday what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, keep in mind, we're not trying to have a big COVID conversation. I'm just talking about relevance to the week about who is going to be back or who is not going to be back. We try to stay away from, those conversations best we can. Let's see here. Defense steps up, even despite their shorthandedness, similar to the offensive line. EJ Speed, George Odom play really well. Without Leonard and Yasin and Willis, I was worried. I was really worried about their passing game. I was, because even without DeAndre Hopkins, they have weapons. But man, that offense for the Cardinals is just not good right now without him.
It really isn't. And the thing is, too, I think it's really big to talk about those guys that did step up. Well, I'm going to start out with EJ Speed because I started out the game and he didn't start out well. He was missing tackles. He was taking the wrong angles. And I even tweeted it. I said, EJ Speed has not had a good start. And he certainly rebounded. He led the team in tackles on Saturday night with 9. He did a great job there. Isaiah Rodgers coming in for Rock Ya-Sin. Isaiah Rodgers had multiple pass breakups on Saturday night, really showing his what we've seen all season long on him. And then you talk about George Odom coming in for Kari Willis.
Yeah.
Same with Jahlil Adai. They played very well back there. And George Odom, I just don't understand why they don't give him more snaps at safety. Why? I just don't understand, because whenever he does, he comes in and he makes great plays like he did on Saturday night, deflecting the ball, making great plays on the receivers downfield as well. George Odom played a hell of a game. EJ Speed and Isaiah Rodgers, hell of a game. And it really just held this defense together. This defense wasn't going to quit just because their leader was out. You still had DeForest Buckner coming up the middle on Kyler Murray. You still had Kenny Moore out there constantly making plays. There was a play, I don't know if you remember this, when Christian Kirk threw it across the field back to Kyler Murray, and you saw Kwity Paye at a full 100% sprint chase down Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is not a slow kid. No. And Kwity Paye gave his one out or his 100% effort, all out effort, to go and chase him down. So this defense, just because they were down, and they weren't going to stop. They weren't going to throw in the towel just because Darius Leonard and Kari Willis, Yasin, they were all out. And I think that just speaks to not only the makeup of this team that Chris Ballard has put together. We talk about how they look at their football character all the time. But it speaks to Matt Eberflus and Frank Reich as well. I think Matt Eberflus has done a phenomenal job, especially this past month, of getting these guys to really play their hearts out on every play. There were times, it maybe towards the beginning of the year, where I would say this defense just doesn't look like they're playing with the effort.
I had Matt Eberflus on my hot seat.
Exactly. Yeah, we both did. And it's completely changed. This defense has been going all out 100% no matter who's been in there. And I'm going to credit Matt Eberflus for that. Credit Frank Reich for that. Because these guys, they just don't quit. And the coaching staff and the coaching philosophy is a direct resemblance of that. So it was great to see. And it's not often that when you're missing your defensive leader that you would expect this team to hold Kyler Murray and the Arizona offense. I know they were missing DeAndre Hopkins. I know they were missing James Conner and Rondale Moore. But still, Kyler Murray is an MVP.
Well, we were missing plenty too. So I don't want to hear the excuses from them either. You know what I mean? Exactly. We were missing a hell of a lot more.
They still held them to 16 points. And really, it was 13 on a garbage three at the very end. It was really 13 points, but 16 overall.
Yeah.
I think the defense made a hell of a statement there.
Never flinched. Frank says it all the time. They talk about in these situations over the years we've already had. You know, we can't have a preseason without having to hear about how this team never flinches. And it was a statement win, Andrew. And you've got in here, we've got a 98% chance to make the playoffs now. What's the official number? Because that is now the third number I've seen today.
So that is from 538. That is an analytics and a probability site that I've found most accurate. 98% chance. And if the Colts do beat the Raiders on Sunday.
Yeah. Let's go, Matt. Colts, that's great news. Thank you.
If the Colts, he's, as Matt says, the pick six for Miami. But anyways, I think if they beat the Raiders next weekend, that will officially lock the Colts in. Now, a lot of stuff can happen in between now and then, especially since
I'm terrified. Right now, are you just shitting yourself about Carson specifically? Specifically Carson, I'm worried about. And with reason. I'm not, again, not having a conversation about our opinions on the whole matter. But I am concerned that because at the drop of a hat, we could lose him for a game.
I mean, I'm not any more concerned about Carson Wentz than I am for the rest of the players on the team. I mean, Carson Wentz is
it's the most important position in the game of football.
Carson Wentz has a more important position, and the Colts said they are taking the appropriate steps to try to help as best as they can.
His ass needs to be flying private.
They haven't said whether he's completely isolated or not, but at the same time, I mean, I'm vaccinated and still got it. My fiance is vaccinated and still got it. Yep.
I'm getting boosted tomorrow.
It's not like even if you are vaccinated, you're susceptible from this thing. So it's gonna if you're in the right spot, you're gonna get it whether you're vaccinated or not. So we'll that's why I'm not more concerned about Carson getting it than everybody else, but I am concerned just because Carson Wentz does play such an important position on this team. It's just all going to be luck of the draw. And it certainly does help if the NFL does change the protocols, especially this week, to about who could get back and who we could lose, depending on that.
Oh, and they'll want to change it because this week the product was damaged. The product was damaged this week. They want to change the protocols if they can. So who starts if Wentz is out? Sam Ehlinger.
It'd be Sam Ehlinger or Brett Hundley.
Probably Sam Ehlinger. Hey, two guys that stood out to me today, Saturday too. T.Y. Hilton just back to his old self in regards to when we need him most, when we need a play most, he was the guy to go to. And Michael Pittman Jr. at one point, it was like he was the only receiver on the field. It was kind of like A.J. Brown the other night for the Titans. It felt like there's no other receiver on the team. All of a sudden, Michael Pittman Jr. just bang, bang, bang over and over and over. I thought those guys played great too.
Pittman's probably going to go over the 1,000-yard mark this week against Las Vegas, and he'll be the first receiver to go over 1,000 yards for the Colts since T.Y. Hilton did it in 2018, and I think just the 10th player in Colts history overall to go for over 1,000 yards in a season.
Awesome. He's good.
Very good. And JT has a chance to break Edge's single season rushing record for the Colts on Sunday as well.
Yeah. Stats Matt just said the same. Anything else on the game, Andrew? I mean, I can't get over just how good that was. I was really upset during that game because I could feel it. I'm like, we're crumbling. We're gonna fall apart here. And man, I couldn't go to sleep. I was so happy, so excited about that win.
It's a fantastic win, and I think you're in agreement with me here that as of right now, the only thing that seems like it's going to stop Indianapolis from going on a little bit of a run here is the COVID issue.
Yeah.
And we're just going to see how that plays out. We can't really analyze that one. So it's just if whether or not that affects the Colts at the right time, whether or not Carson Wentz has to miss games, and if he does, you would hope it'd be either this week against Oakland or next week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then just be done with it, because then he wouldn't get tested the rest of the season. We'll just have to see how it plays out. But all things considered, as long as they're healthy and as long as COVID doesn't take over, this Colts team is going to be a problem in January, and I'm fully confident saying that.
Other Colts news, injuries, tight end Jack Doyle, knee and ankle, left the game. Left tackle Eric Fisher, knee, left the game. Have we heard anything today?
Yeah, so Eric Fisher, not only is it a knee, it's also a toe and it's also a pec. So that dude's injured all over the place. But Frank Reich did say today that both of those guys are day-to-day, not ruled out for this okay. Sunday, which is a good sign. We'll just kind of have to see how they progress throughout the week.
And these are the guys that were all on the reserve COVID-19 list as of today.
As of today, this is running all back, accurate as of now.
Running back, Marlon Mack. Wide receiver, Zach Pascal. Tackle, Braden Smith. Guard, Quentin Nelson. Guard, Glowinski. Defensive end, Kamoko Ture. Linebacker, Darius Leonard. Linebacker, Malik Jefferson. Cornerback, Rocky Sin. Cornerback, TJ Carey. Safety, Kari Willis. Safety, Jaleel. Is that Addy? Aday?
Aday.
Aday. Aday. I mean, notice how most of these right here are, at least grouped in twos by position. You know, guys that are close to each other in meeting rooms and all that jazz. So that's just the way this thing works.
And Frank did say today that they will be getting some guys back this week. He didn't say who, because obviously it's not his responsibility or his job to reveal who's vaccinated, who's not. But obviously the guys that are vaccinated can come back a little bit quicker than the guys who aren't. So he did say that they will be getting some guys back, which is a good sign.
Got some Pro Bowl alternates, Andrew, that have made the cut. Ashton Doolin, snubbed in the first place, makes the alternate list for special teams. Naheem Hines for punt return. Bobby Okereke for interior linebacker. Michael Pittman Jr., wide receiver. Xavier Rhodes, cornerback. Xavier Rhodes, cornerback, is a Pro Bowl alternate. Can you believe that shit? just based on what we were saying, even just a few weeks ago, it feels like. Carson Wentz, shittiest quarterback in the league, apparently good enough to be a Pro Bowl alternate. What do you think about those guys, Andrew? Anybody on that list really stand out to you that should have been not just an alternate?
I thought Ashton Doolin had a really good chance of making it. Doesn't surprise me, though, that Naheem Hines for a punt return and Michael Pittman are there at wide receiver. It does that Xavier Rhodes and Carson Wentz are on there for as alternates just because of how Xavier Rhodes has played this year.
And how the media has perceived Carson Wentz.
Right, and how the media has perceived Carson Wentz playing this year. But, hey, it doesn't count as Pro Bowl selections unless they actually do play in the game. So I hope that none of them do make it, because hopefully the Colts will have plans that next week and none of the guys will be playing in the game.
Yeah. When he announced it on Hard Knocks last week, said, sorry, guys, we got plans that week. I was like, ooh, let's go. I was so fired up. Stats Matt, how did Rhodes make it over Rock? Well, if you're not a Colts fan, you probably have no idea who Rocky Sin is.
The same way with Kenny Moore, how Kenny Moore got snubbed all those years when Kenny Moore has been a top tier talent. Now, finally, I think because of Hard Knocks, he's finally getting the Pro Bowl nod and the recognition that Kenny Moore deserves so much of for now and should have been deserving well a few years ago. So
Week 16 games, NFL stuff. Andrew, another doozy of a week. I mean, just another absolute doozy of a week. So let's go through these scores. Titans pull it off against the Niners. That was one of the biggest surprises of the week to me. What did you think about that game? That was a Thursday night game. I assume you watched, or were you too dead?
I was dead in bed, but I was dozing in and out and kind of trying to pay attention to that. But from what I caught of the game, man, it just seemed like it was there for the taking for the 49ers, and Jimmy G just couldn't get it done. Really couldn't. And it did come out today that he's a little bit injured and has a bone chip in his hand. But at the same time, the 49ers were up and they were in the red zone multiple times and just could not capitalize. And when you do that against a team like the Titans, they're gonna make you pay for it. So that's exactly what happened.
I watched most of that game. Was not happy with the outcome. We'll just leave it at that. AJ, by the way, maybe cover AJ Brown. Just a thought.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe put somebody on him.
Especially when Julio Jones isn't even out there and AJ Brown's really the only receiver to throw to for the Tennessee Titans.
Ooh. Now this statement is coming back to be real interesting. Don't forget, Rivers said he'd be available to a playoff team if needed. Love that point.
That question was asked today to Frank Reich if they have contacted Philip Rivers, and of right now, they have not. So, but like I've been saying this whole episode, I feel like things could change very quickly.
Is he on any kind of like waiver wire, or do we have rights? I mean, I don't know how that works.
He's a free agent right now because he only had a one-year deal with the Colts.
New Orleans asked Rivers, and he denied them.
That is true. So he's free to sign with any team.
Interesting. Packers 24, Browns 22. That was another good game. I saw some people really trashing Baker Mayfield this week or this weekend in the media. You know, give that guy a break. I mean, he has gone through some stuff this year.
He has, but he certainly didn't look good on Sunday. And the Browns had, again, it was kind of like the 49ers. They had every opportunity to go out there and take that game from Green Bay. And I'm surprised it was even that close because Baker Mayfield had four interceptions in that game. So it was there, and it was kind of like I saw Jeff Schwartz in particular on Twitter before Carson Wentz came out there and kind of showed what he can do, saying that Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz are one and the same. Well, one guy did make the plays to win a game with a depleted roster. The other one didn't on Sunday, or Saturday, I should say.
Yeah. Falcons 20, Lions 16. Lions winning streak has ended.
Lions, I saw the end of that game, and I saw the Lions in the red zone about to make me lose another Falcons pick, and thank God Jared Goff wasn't out there, the elite Jared Goff, and instead the Lions backup threw an interception.
Did you pick the Lions?
No, I picked the Falcons.
Okay. Bengals 41, Ravens 21. I did not watch any of that game, Colts game. Or I was doing my family stuff. But, I mean, the Bengals just ate the Ravens alive. I think the Bengals swept the division.
Joe Burrow, they haven't swept it completely because I think they still have some division games. Their last game of the year, is against Cleveland. But okay. Joe Burrow, 525 yards and four touchdowns against that pretty Ravens defense. Just an absurd day for Joey B. And, hey, like we talked about it, maybe we might have to take a trip to Cincinnati for a Colts-Bengals playoff game here in a couple weeks.
Rams beat the Vikings 30-23. Did not get nearly enough production out of Justin Jefferson or Matt Stafford in that game.
I think Matt Stafford had three picks, so it definitely wasn't his best game of the year. No. But the Vikings just seems like they're so up and down. They can look really good one week and then just play like trash the next, and they just weren't a very good football team on Sunday.
Unless the Dolphins' defense really blows it and goes from 19 points down to less than 2 points, your boy's heading to the championship, just so you know. in one of my leagues, and maybe two. Where'd I leave off? Bills 33, Patriots 21. Let's give them a round of applause. How about them Bills? I love a good Patriots loss.
Patriots lost two straight now after a 7-game winning streak. Josh Allen looked good. He looked real, real good on Sunday against that Patriots defense.
If you're bored, Andrew, go watch the last two Bill Belichick pressers. Post-game pressers. Amazing. Absolutely incredible.
The, I, I saw this past Sunday where some lady asked him about his New Year's resolutions, and it's like,
no, I don't think I'll do that. Maybe next week.
I mean, her editor probably sent her there to do that, but yeah. I mean, read the room a little bit, just a little bit.
Hey, listen, here's the thing. They play after a loss. Those reporters are playing a game of what can I ask this man to get him to just answer a question, like anything. And I respected the hell out of that question. I thought that was amazing. I've been playing a little listen to Bill Belichick be pissed off in his presser the last couple weeks, and it's been very entertaining. Jets 26, Jaguars 21, close one. Did you pick the Jags?
I'm not exactly sure.
Remember. We're gonna find out.
I thought I picked the Jets, but I honestly don't know. Anyways, I mean, from what I saw of that game, Zach Wilson looked pretty decent, and even though Trevor Lawrence had a shot to win it there at the end. The bad clock management there at the end, especially spiking it on third down when you're inside the five with 12 seconds left. I mean, come on, there's 12 seconds left. Get up there and make sure you call two plays in the huddle so that way you know if it's going to be a third down, what that next play is going to be.
Yeah.
Get up and run that play.
Well, there's a bit of a coaching issue there right now, so nobody probably told him.
Yeah.
Eagles 34, Giants 10. Are the Eagles making the playoffs? Stats, Matt, can you tell me, please?
I think as of right now,
if Nick Sirianni takes those Eagles to the playoffs, I'm going to be baffled.
I mean, that'd be one hell of a coaching performance by Nick Sirianni. But then again, man, the Giants suck. Jake Fromm, State Farm, goes out there and just throws an absolute terrible game. Mike Glennon has to come in. And I mean, the Giants need to blow it all up pretty much. Yeah. GM.
It's bad.
Coach. All Daniel Jones all needs to be gone with.
I should send you out there. I'll send him your resume. Do you want to coach or GM?
I'll
or
be
both?
A GM.
You want to do both?
GM. Absolutely not.
All right, GM. Tons of experience on Madden. talks about football part time, you know, so pretty well qualified. Just as qualified as half the numbnuts you hire.
Student of Chris Ballard. I know Chris Ballard's philosophies. That'll probably be at least 500 record.
There you go. Who are you going to hire as your new head coach, as your first acting as a GM?
I think Urban Meyer's available.
I did not expect that answer. All right.
Eric Bieniemy or Jim Caldwell. We'll go that route. I like Jim Caldwell.
Byron Leftwich,
maybe.
Bubba Ventrone?
Ooh, I love me some Bubba Ventrone.
Yeah. All right. Buccaneers 32, Panthers 6. I had some friends at that game. Not fun to see, I'm sure. Jim Mora.
Man, I mean, the Fire Matt Rule train is really, Jim Mora. The Fire Matt Rule train is really getting strong, and it does not seem like the Panthers have really a lot going for them right now.
They're really going to have to pay that guy to get him out of there. Texans 41, Chargers 29. That's the surprise of the week, I would say. Number one surprise.
Man, Davis Mills looking better and better each week. If I'm the Texans, I think you roll with Davis Mills. Give him a shot next year. Try to give him a veteran quarterback and just kind of see what happens. You don't have any other options.
The only problem with that is it's going to drive Deshaun Watson's trade value down.
Yeah, I think you're still can offer three first round picks for Deshaun Watson. Nothing's going to really get done until the legal issues get settled up with him anyway. So,
right. Bears 25, Seahawks 24. I did not see the ending of that game. I did not know until I was doing scores today that they lost that game. That is hilarious.
Nick Foles coming out of the woodwork to just beat Russell Wilson and the
wasn't Seattle he coming Seahawks. To the Colts?
Allegedly.
I remember back, Nick Foles is a Colt, baby. Let's go.
Back in like August. That's what everyone was saying. But yeah, I mean, do you think it's time to blow it up? Do you think it's time to do a full rebuild there in Seattle with getting Russell Wilson out of there, getting all your bad contracts out of there and just starting from scratch?
I don't know. I don't know if it's time for Pete Carroll to be. I don't know. It's certainly an interesting idea. I've never been a big fan of forcing a coach out after one bad year. You know, I understand that, you know, they haven't won a Super Bowl again, haven't gone back to a Super Bowl, but I mean, Pete Carroll's brought that team a lot of success over the years. And I think you got to give the guy a chance post Russell Wilson to get things back on track.
Do you think he wins that Super Bowl without Russell Wilson, though? Even with that bit, that defense in place, do you think without Russell Wilson and them drafting Russ?
I don't think they get there, but I think they still win that game. I mean, the Seahawks won that game the second the ball went over Peyton Manning's head.
Yeah,
I mean, immediately I said, oh, this game is going to go like this. yeah, I think they lost that one the second they stepped on the field. So, but they wouldn't have been there. Seahawks wouldn't have been there. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think they do. I don't think they'll blow it up. Chiefs 36, Steelers 10. I didn't expect that score, but I expected that result.
And it was, I think it was 30 does nothing at one point. Yeah, so
it was ugly.
Steelers, I think you're going to have a couple more games. I don't think the Steelers make the playoffs. So enjoy these last two games with Big Ben while you still have
them. Do you know that record? Do you know their record?
I think they're 7-7-1.
7-7-1. They might finish with a losing record this year. Could happen.
First time in Tomlin's coaching tenure.
Raiders 17, Broncos 13. That's a good defense that the Raiders played against. We don't want to get into Raiders talk yet. We'll talk, you know, later this week, but I don't love having to play them. I don't. They are a tough, gritty team.
Derek Carr seems to have quite a bit of success against the Colts. Seems like every time the Colts play him, he has a decent game. And I think his completion percentage especially is like around the 70% mark when he plays the Colts. So especially with the Colts going through all this COVID-related issues right now, I mean, right now the Colts, I think, are a 7.5-point favorite. Expect that line to shrink quite a bit throughout the week.
We've played the Raiders every year. Frank Reich's been a coach, and we are 2-1. Against them. Cowboys 56, Washington 14. Absolutely blew them out of the water.
Man, Dak Prescott was an absolute clinic last night. Just surgical going down the field, whether it was to Cooper Kupp, to Zeke. I mean, he was the second quarterback in NFL history last night to throw a touchdown pass to a running back, a tight end, a wide receiver, and an offensive lineman in the same game. And then you've got the Washington football team having fights on their own sideline between Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne, a captain, be it. And just, man, I think you can just see when there's nights like last night, you can see how much a culture and how a bad culture just has an effect on a team. Because you look at the Indianapolis Colts and how they're run, and then you look at the Washington football team and how they're run, and you can see why one is having success and the other isn't.
Unfortunate.
Stats Matt. I apologize on that one.
Stealing stats from Stats Matt. A new segment. Andrew, some news around the league. None.
There wasn't really any news
around the league. And that's news around the league. A lot of COVID stuff, I'm sure.
One thing, everyone's got COVID, including me. So that's all the news you need.
The players, the reporters, the coaches, everybody's got it.
Zach Hicks on our SI team has COVID as well. So two-fourths of the writers and two-fifths of the crew here on SI.
All righty, man. Hey, let's do a little Colts player of the game.
The man, the myth, the legend, the guy who we needed to see come out with that kind of clutch performance, Carson Wentz is my Colts player of the game. Again, 18 for 28 for 225 yards, two touchdowns, and a 112.9 quarterback rating. Put the team on his back when they needed him the most and came out with very clutch throws, accurate throws, and he led the Colts to a victory when many were counting the Indianapolis Colts out on Saturday night. So Carson Wentz, my Colts player of the game.
DeMarcus, thanks for joining us today. I don't recognize your name as a frequent commenter, so thanks for joining. I also hope everyone recovers well. And I also hope Carson Wentz does not get it.
Same here.
But my player of the game, Andrew, do you have any guesses?
Carson Wentz?
No, I may have picked Carson Wentz, but I had this feeling when you told me today, because I asked you early because I was interested. I had a feeling you were going to pick Carson. No, I am typically try to go away from what you do. T.Y. Hilton doesn't show up big on the stat sheet. 4 receptions, 51 yards, and a touchdown. But, I mean, man, those 4 catches, all 4 of them, huge, so big, including the touchdown, and then the one that set us up for the game sealing touchdown. I just think he played the role that we need him to play right now. Again, we don't expect him to be wide receiver number one anymore. Patman, I mean, that one catch, congratulations to him, by the way, on his first NFL touchdown. But no, he's not player of the game for me, but that's a fun guess. I'd considered it, to be fair. You like the T.Y. pick?
I do. I mean, well, we've been saying it all year that we think T.Y. Hilton's going to come. Well, he might not be the number one option in this offense anymore. There's going to be a point in time that the Colts are going to need T.Y. Hilton down the stretch. And I think we're starting to see that, and especially once we come up on playoff time, from a guy that's been there and done that, we're going to see T.Y. Hilton make some pretty important catches down the stretch here.
I agree. All right, go follow us at A Colts Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Pittman wasn't fined, but New England player was fined for the fight, by the way. That's a good point, Matt. Thank you. But yeah, go follow us, guys. Talk to us. We're growing. We're growing right now. You guys are helping us out. We are enjoying, you know, the ride here, and hope we continue to grow. Hope everybody had a good Christmas. And I hope everybody has a good Tuesday before we see you again on Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be feeling hopefully a little bit better, and we'll be ready to talk some Colts Raiders matchup.
We'll be there.
Some good news.
We'll be there. Right, Andrew? Go Colts. We'll be there.
Go Colts.
Let this moment become a cherished memory, and then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you, and God bless football.